Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host, your very grateful, very happy host today, and we'll talk about that in a second. This hour, I want to let you know so you can start dialing if you are a youngin' or you have a youngin'. It's Youngin's show today. It's open forum for the young set, if you're maybe 15 or so and younger. We're looking for your calls if you have a question about the Catholic Church, about what Catholics believe or why we do certain things. Those would be the perfect questions for today. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is Jimmy Akin, a senior apologist here at Catholic Answers, the author of a just on the brink of out book called Teaching with Authority, and also of many other books.
It's in the mail.
It's in
that's so oh, is it's that? Kind of it's, from one perspective, it's out. It's in the mail.
Oh, so that's how they get it shipped. To you? They mail those copies here?
They mail, yeah. They don't like teleport them yet.
No, I know. I'm very disappointed. Don't get me going on teleporting. I'm very disappointed about the state of teleporting right now, Jimmy. Jimmy's also the author.
Can do it with like subatomic particles, but they're working on scaling it up.
Well, maybe we should write books on subatomic particles then.
Them with subatomic particles right now.
Pretty much everything you do with subatomic particles, right?
For the most part.
It's pretty hard to do anything without a subatomic particle getting involved somehow. They're very nosy, those subatomic particles. I was going to say Jimmy's also the author of A Daily Defense, 365 Days Plus One to Becoming a Better Apologist. And if you are, I don't know, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, any grade, if you're in the grades, if you still use the word grade for where you are, or even if you haven't even made it to school yet, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884 with any question at all about the Catholic faith. And since we're doing kids' questions today, Jimmy, it's Kids Open Forum. I thought I'd ask you about a group of really probably almost maybe the most important group of kids that ever lived, and that is the Little Rascals. Are you familiar with the Little Rascals?
Yeah, I used to watch the Little Rascals all the time on television back when I was youngin' myself.
When you were a youngin',
because they would play them, and occasionally they'd play the Bowery Boys, but mostly the Little Rascals.
The Bowery Boys were funny too, yeah. But okay, so harken back, who was your favorite among the Little Rascals?
Probably Spanky.
I know, Spanky was awesome, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alfalfa, kind of a second there.
Alfalfa, very strange fella. Mm-hmm. He had a cowlick.
He did.
Yeah.
Now, and he grew up to be in It's a Wonderful Life.
Did he really tell me about that?
Yeah,
I didn't know
he's the actor who played Alfalfa is the rival for Mary's affections when George Bailey is in high school.
Oh, and Alfalfa lost out.
Yeah.
It's probably because he was in the He-Man Woman Haters Club.
Well, it kind of sets a bad precedent.
That is a bad standard to have. You could not do that today. You could not make children's movies in which little boys had created a club called the He-Man Woman Haters Club.
No matter how often it happens in real life.
Yeah. Although they let Darla in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so the only actual girl that they knew,
yeah,
they let her in the club. Very inconsistent, these little rascals. Again,
maybe that's part of the name.
They are rascalies.
Yeah.
Hal Roach was the producer of Little Rascals.
Yeah, and many silent comedies.
He did a lot. Did he? Was he a? No, he wasn't with Chaplin, was he? Did he do Chaplin?
I don't know. I think Chaplin mostly produced his own stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 888-318-7884. When you call, you'll talk to Marie, and then Marie will put you through
She's
to us.
She's kind of a rascal herself.
Marie is a little rascal. She is indeed. She did a great job during the pledge drive, though.
Her into the He-Man Woman Haters Club.
Yeah, you have to. I don't think the He-Man Woman Haters Club actually can hate women.
No.
I don't think they're capable of it.
No.
They just
It's just a club, dude.
Yeah, and they weren't He-Men either. Jackie, do you remember Jackie?
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the Little Rascals.
Mm-hmm.
He went on to play Perry White.
Oh, really? Okay.
It was Jackie. What was his last name? Was it Coogan? Jackie Coogan,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
He went on in the Superman movies with Christopher Reeve.
Oh, to play. I didn't realize that was him. I remember Perry White from those movies. I didn't know that was him.
Yeah. I don't know how I got off on the Little Rascals. Anyways, I guess it's because we're inviting calls from kids today. And if you have a question for Jimmy, a Kids Open Forum is the time for you. Marie will also be giving out a book to anybody who gets through and talks with Jimmy. Not sure what the book is.
I have an idea.
We have some
we'll
idea.
We'll have to see. It's a surprise.
Yeah. Right. Again, 888-318-7884. I did want to, before we go to calls, though, I wanted to just say thanks to everybody who supported us through your prayers and through your contributions during the last 3 days. Met with considerable success, an extraordinary. Yesterday was pretty impressive, wasn't it? Like,
People
were really generous yesterday.
They were. We made both of our matches, even though they were bigger for both hours, and we went further, and we got up to about 95% of our overall drive goal.
Right. And often, you know, the pledge drive doesn't, I mean, it's still online and all that, and people still find their way to give. So we don't know what the final, we'll give you the final numbers next. Plus, Darren has to get the calculator out. I don't think he likes getting the calculator out, but we'll know some final
numbers.
He's
nodding and smiling in there. I think he's found the on switch.
Everyone's tired around here, and I have to say this little bit of a festive feeling, though, and it really means so much to us that you came through with all that support. Don't forget to support your local Catholic radio station, EWTN, all those, Ave Maria Radio, all those who are producing the content, and also all those who have the signals to share the content. Please support them. And again, we are very, very grateful for your support. I want to give out the number again, and then I've got a question for you here, Jimmy.
And it's also okay if parents, you know, help the child call.
Oh, yes.
Because sometimes kids aren't always as comfortable with a phone and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can – that's right. As a matter of fact, if you're small, you should probably have your parents' permission to call. But they probably – people have – I don't even know if people have phones in their homes anymore. Like when I was a kid, you could just – if mom wasn't home, you could make a call. But now the phone's probably with mom.
Unless mom has gotten a phone for you that is your phone, which may have various restrictions on it.
Yeah, right. Okay, so the number then to call if you have questions
for
Jimmy.
Say it slow.
888-318-7884. Or another way to say that is 888-31-TRUTH. I will say it again more slowly because I do say the phone number really fast. 888-318-7884. A grandma called and asked a question. Will we take a grandma question while
we're
waiting for kid calls? She wants to get her grandson excited about Mass. She raises him some of the time, and the other part of the time he's raised by his other non-Catholic grandmother. He hates going and is disruptive at Mass.
Well, since I've never been a grandparent, I may not be the best person to ask this question of. However, I would say and I don't know what age this child is.
Yeah, right.
I would assume he's fairly young, but assuming that, I would say try to talk to the other grandmother and see if there's a way that we could get on the same page so that she's supporting this effort as well, because you're trying to raise him. The child, I'm assuming, is Catholic. And if there's a way, maybe I don't know what the other grandmother's attitude is, but if she's friendly on religious subjects, you could say, look, I mean, he is Catholic. He was baptized Catholic. He has this obligation to go to Mass. Can we work together to make this happen?
Yeah.
And having that consistency from both sides of the family would help. Because it's not like he's got an escape valve to like, well, I don't have to do that when I'm with my other grandmother.
Yeah.
And then in addition, you know, you want to be firm, but you want to be nice about it. And also I try to find ways to reward him for going to Mass and being good at Mass, and say like, okay, if you know, when we go to Mass today, if you do a good job, then we'll go out afterwards and have ice cream. Or we'll go out afterwards and you can have your favorite food, pizza, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Or we'll do something special together.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he acts up, you know, you say, look, we won't be able to go out and have the ice cream if you continue acting like this. And if he ultimately is too disruptive, then you say, okay, I'm sorry, but, you know, we need you to be okay at Mass and we can try again next week. And if you're good at Mass next week, then we'll do that special thing together.
Thank you very much to that grandmother. I don't have a name for that grandmother.
But. Also, I would say, you know, there are various books and things that are appropriate for different ages of children and videos that can help children understand what's going on at Mass more and can help them get more out of it.
Yep, indeed. It is. I mean, for lots of kids, it's for anybody, it's not always easy to sit through Mass. So, well, yeah, a little bit of sugar helps the medicine go down, as they say.
A woman named Mary told me that.
That's right, Mary, one of the many Marys.
Yeah. Mary Poppins.
Miss Poppins said that. Can you even believe this? Can you even believe that I'm saying this word? Store-wide Christmas sale. Christmas sale, I tell you. It's already here. It's upon us. The happiest time of year. I know because I heard a TV commercial telling me that it's the happiest time of year just the other day. This weekend only, you go to shop.catholic.com and you can get our top 10 for $10 each. You find the top 10 resources here at Catholic Answers for only $10 each. I'm sure there will be all kinds of various treats for you between now and Christmas. You can also just save money on hundreds of items if you put in that promo code that we've been giving you for a few weeks, CALIVE18. When you check out at shop.catholic.com, just put in that promo code and you're going to get 20% off. But let me tell you some of the top 10 Catholic Answers resources that are each on sale for just $10 this weekend. Why We're Catholic, Behold Your Mother, A Daily Defense, Hard Sayings, The Essential Catholic Survival Guide, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger, Why Be Catholic, The Glory of the Crusades, Made This Way, and Pure Faith Prayer Book, all on sale, just $10 each this weekend. We will get to kids' calls right after this when we come back on Catholic Answers Live.
We're glad you're with us. Stick around for more Catholic Answers Live.
The Trump administration rolls back the Health and Human Services contraceptive mandate.
U.S. bishops calling for the total elimination of nuclear weapons.
Pope Francis offers prayers for the victims of the California wildfires.
The U.S. House of Representatives has passed a bill banning abortions after 20 weeks.
And Pope Francis says the death penalty is contrary to the gospel.
Your link to news headlines Catholics count on at the top of the hour. Weekdays on EWTN Radio.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Kids only open forum today. You want to get in that queue now. We're giving away a book. I believe it might be a Christmas book, but I don't know for sure. But it's we got
a
book.
It's like a present. You have to wait until
you got to wait till you get it.
Open it.
Right. That's right. So you will be getting your own book as a present when you get through here and talk to Marie and talk to Jimmy and I. 888-318-7884 is the number. We will go now to Sophia in Colorado. Sophia, are you there with us? Hi, Sophia.
Yes, I'm here.
Sophia, are you there with your brother David?
Yeah.
I thought so. Okay, so your brother. You're how old, Sophia?
Six.
Six, and David is how old?
Three.
Oh, he's three. Okay. Is he a good brother?
Yeah.
Okay. That took a while to decide. But Sophia, what is your question for Jimmy?
How do you go to heaven?
To go to heaven, you want to believe in Jesus, and you want to be sorry when you commit sins, and you want to be baptized. And if after you're baptized, if you commit really bad sins, then you want to still believe in Jesus, you want to be sorry for your sins, and then you want to go to confession. And and as long as you keep believing in Jesus and keep being one of God's friends, and you do those basic things, then you'll go to heaven.
Do you think you can do that, Sophia?
Yeah.
Have you been baptized already, Sophia?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. I think that I don't know if Marie already got your address, but if it's all right with your mom and dad, I'll give you back to Marie now, and she will get the place to send your book to. Thanks for calling us, Sophia.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 888-318-7884. There was a significant pause before she decided whether David was a good brother or not.
Oh, I didn't notice.
We're happy to take your call if you are a member of the younger set. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you're old enough to and you're allowed to, you can dial the phone yourself and give us a call. If you're not quite at that stage yet and mom and dad would prefer you ask, then go ahead and ask. Moms and dads can dial as well. We'd love to talk with you about any question you have about the Catholic faith. 888-318-7884. One of the things I like about the kids show is, like, how do you go to heaven is such a basic question.
But it's a really important
one. Like, of all of them, that's the one you'd want to know the answer to because it's kind of important. We have Lila on the line. I think we have Lila. Lila, are you there?
Yeah.
And how old are you, Lila?
Six.
You are six. Okay. And what's your question, Lila?
How old is Jesus?
How old is Jesus?
Okay. So it appears, and some people have different ideas about this. They may put the year of Jesus's birth a year or two to one side, or a few years to one side or the other. But it appears that Jesus was either born in the second half of the year 3 BC or the first half of the year 2 BC. And since this is the year 2018, and we're in the second half of 2018, that would mean you can add 3 to 2018. And so Jesus would be approximately 2,021 years old this winter. Now, if you were to see him, then he's since he's got a glorified body in heaven, he could look any age he wants. In fact, there's even, it's not in the Bible, so it's not reliable, but there's even an early Christian document that talks about James and John, the two apostles, seeing him when they were coming in from fishing. And one of them saw him as a young man who had his beard just coming in, and the other saw him as an older man with a long flowing beard at the same time. So we know Jesus could appear different ways to people, like when the disciples on the road to Emmaus didn't recognize him. So even though he's more than 2,000 years old now, and it looks like he would be 2,021 years old, he could look however he wants to look because he's got a miraculous body in heaven.
So Lila, he's 2,021 years old, but he doesn't look it. Does that make sense to you? It does?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling, Lila. But hang on, and Marie is going to get an address to send you your book, okay? Yep, I got a little crack in the connection there as she was leaving, but let us go then to Gabriel in Texas. Gabriel, are you there?
Yes.
And how old are you, Gabriel?
Nine.
So you are 2,012 years younger than Jesus. Oh, well, I guess that doesn't impress you that much, but we just found out that Jesus is 2,021 years old. Gabriel, do you have
you
a question?
You just did math on air, Sire Kellett.
Well, it was
you
just
said
simple
you don't
subtraction.
Do that.
Yeah, usually that's true. I know. It's just arithmetic. Gabriel, what is your question, please?
How old you should be to go to confession?
Okay.
There's not a minimum age. So every time if you have a basic knowledge of how to go to confession. And if you have a sin you want to confess or need to confess, then you can go. There's no minimum age for going to confession. Sometimes parishes will hesitate a little bit if a child is very young and they haven't gone through instruction about confession yet. But there is actually no minimum age in canon law. There is an age after which you need to go every year if you've committed grave sins, but that's later. There's no minimum age. So as soon as you have had the basics of how to go to confession explained to you, and if you have a sin that you want to confess or that you need to confess, you can go ahead and go.
Does that make sense to you, Gabriel?
Yes.
All right. Would you like us to send you a book?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on, and Marie will get your information, and we will send you that book. It's open forum for kids today on Catholic Answers Live. If you are a kid or if one of your kids would like to, give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. And open forum always means that any question at all about the Catholic faith, about Catholic moral teaching, about the sacraments, it's all welcome. And just like on every other open forum, during Kids Open Forum, you don't have to be Catholic to call.
By moral teaching, you mean what you should and shouldn't do, right?
Yes, what's good and what's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, you are next. Jack is in Virginia. Are you there, Jack?
Yes.
And how old are you, Jack?
11.
And have you ever called us before, Jack?
I don't. No.
Oh, okay. No, okay. I thought that I remembered that you might have, but maybe not. I might have you confused.
I don't remember everyone I've ever called either.
You don't remember? Yeah, it's perfectly fine not to remember Jack. I just thought that I recognized your voice. Jack, what is your question?
I was just wondering what purgatory was.
Purgatory is something that happens to us after we die and before we enter heaven, if we are on our way to heaven and we need to be purified. We're in this life, we aren't always pure. We sometimes do bad things. We have temptations to do bad things. And when we do bad things, there can be consequences that kind of linger for the bad things we've done. And all of that needs to be taken care of before we enter heaven, so that we can be perfect and totally holy and totally happy in heaven, and we won't have any of those bad things hanging around from the sins we committed. And so if we die in God's friendship, but we still need to be cleaned up from the bad things that we've done, then God will clean us up, spiritually speaking. And that's what purgatory is. It purges us of all the bad things that remain to deal with so that we can be perfect in heaven with and be happy with God forever.
How's that, Jack?
Okay, I like that.
That makes sense. Okay, good. Very good, Jack.
It's something that'll make you happy in heaven. It's just one of the steps to going there.
We'd like to send you a book, Jack. Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on. Marie wants to talk to you, and then
Some people, if they are deal with everything they need to in this life, they could even go to heaven without purgatory. But for most people, they need it.
Okay. All right. When someone's made a saint,
mm-hmm.
does that mean that they didn't need purgatory or
it
not?
It does not mean that. It just means they're in heaven.
But some saints might not have needed purgatory.
Yeah, some might not have.
I gotcha. Okay. Jack, thank you very, very much for that question. It is Kids Open Forum today on Catholic Answers Live, and we go now to Lucas in Ontario, Canada. Thanks for calling all the way from Canada. Lucas, are you there with us?
Yes.
And how old are you, Lucas?
I'm 12.
Okay. Your question, please.
So I was wondering... if I was planning on maybe becoming a priest, and uh-huh. I was wondering on what should I do to become a priest?
Well, there are several things you can do. One is if you're not already like an altar server, you might consider becoming an altar server. That would give you a chance to work with priests and take part in the Mass from up on the altar and get a sense of more of a detailed sense of what it's like to say Mass, because that would be one of your main jobs as a priest, would be saying Mass. And so so becoming an altar server would be a good step. Also, they have people called vocations directors at different dioceses. That's, you know, where your bishop is. And you could talk to the vocations director in your diocese and see what advice he has. Also, you might check out monasteries and talk to some monasteries if you want to become an order priest. And you might even go to what's called a minor seminary, which is a seminary school for people who are like your age, who are thinking about being priests later on in life.
Lucas, hang on. We want to give you a book. It is Kids Open Forum today on Catholic Answers Live. Lots more kids questions for Jimmy Akin right after this.
Author Mark McNeil spent years in the Oneness Pentecostal movement, praying in its lively services, zealously spreading its unconventional teachings, and rejecting mainstream Christianity as misguided. Then he left it all behind. All in the Name is the story of a man who believed he was among an elite group of believers who followed the true faith when so many others had strayed. But an inquisitive mind, careful study, and the action of the Holy Spirit finally led Mark out of Oneness Pentecostalism and into the Catholic Church. This is an inspiring conversion story you won't want to miss. It's a faith strengthener for Catholics and an intriguing challenge to those who deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Order your copy of All in the Name today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
In what forms does the Word of God come to us? How do we know that the Bible is inspired, inerrant, and complete? Why do we need tradition to help us understand Scripture? Doesn't the Bible teach that it alone is sufficient for salvation? In 20 Answers, Scripture and Tradition, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, examining the first and most important issue in the Christian faith, the manner in which God has communicated to us the saving truths of the gospel. 20 Answers, Scripture and Tradition is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. Do you have questions about the Catholic faith? Listen for the best of Called to Communion on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern and live on Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Called to Communion on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And this hour, we're taking calls just from kids on any topic you have about the Catholic Church. You are welcome to call. If you have any question at all, we would love to take it. And taking those calls is Jimmy Akin, the senior apologist here at Catholic Answers. We start out this half hour with Ian in Orange County. Ian, are you there with us?
Yes.
How old are you, Ian?
7.
All right, Ian, your question for Jimmy.
How are there three people and one God?
Okay. This is a question that a lot of people wonder about, and it's kind of hard for us to understand. One of the reasons it's hard for us to understand is because we can't see God with our physical eyes, and a lot of our ability to imagine things is based on our eyes. If we haven't seen something if we've never seen something, it's just hard to imagine. Like, for example, we know from science that matter is made out of atoms. And we know that atoms are made out of smaller particles like electrons. But we can't see electrons with our eyes, and that makes them hard to imagine. And so sometimes you'll see like pictures that people have drawn of what an atom looks like, and they'll have electrons as little bitty balls that are zooming around the atom, the center of the atom, kind of like planets. But that's not really what they're like. That's just a picture that we use to help us imagine something that our minds aren't built to experience. Mm-hmm. So we've never seen these particles with our eyes, and so all we can use are pictures to help us understand this. But still, we know from science that matter really is made out of atoms, and electrons are real, even though we have a hard time imagining it. Well, the same thing is true when it comes to understanding the Trinity, because the Bible tells us that there is one God, and the Bible tells us that God is three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we know this is true, but it's still hard to imagine. It's just like atoms are so far beneath us that we're not used to experiencing them, and they're hard for us to imagine. God is so far above us that we're not used to experiencing Him in this life, and so He's hard for us to imagine too. But we still know the Trinity is true because the Bible tells us, just like science tells us about electrons. So one of the things that can help us understand the Trinity a little bit is making a distinction between what's called a being and a person. A being is simply anything that's real, anything that exists, anything that bees is a being. And so I'm a being. Ian, you are a being. A rock is a being. A snowflake is a being. An angel is a being. Anything that exists is a being. And so God is a being. Mm-hmm. Well, since there's only one God, God is one being. But here's something interesting about beings. Sometimes a being is not a person, like a rock or a snowflake. So if you look at a rock or a snowflake and say, how many persons are there? There's zero persons in the rock or the snowflake. But if you look in at you or me and say, how many persons are there? How many persons are in Jimmy Akin? And how many persons are in Ian? There's one person in each of us. And so that shows us that beings or things that exist can have different numbers of persons. Some beings are zero persons, like a rock or a snowflake. Some beings are one person, like you or me, Ian. And that means it's possible for some beings to be more than one person. And the Bible tells us that God is one of those beings. God is a being who is three persons. So the idea of a being is separate from the idea, or different than the idea of a person, because you can have any number of persons in a being, and God happens to be a being who is three persons. That's hard for us to understand in this life. I assume we'll understand it better when we get to heaven.
Okay, Ian?
Okay.
Ian, we'd like to give you...
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. You have very good manners, Ian.
Yeah.
We'd like to give you a book, so hang on, and Marie will get an address if your mom and dad say it's okay for us to send that book to. Thanks, Ian. Now we go to Doyle in Ohio. Doyle, are you there?
Yeah.
And how old are you, Doyle?
7.
Oh, glad to have your call, Doyle. What is your question?
Was God even born?
It depends on what you mean. And the answer depends partly on the question that we just answered about the Trinity, because God is three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know that God the Son, Jesus, was born. So Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, and Jesus was God. And so consequently, you can say that God was born in the sense that Jesus was born. As far as we know, the Father and the Holy Spirit have never been born, though. So you could also say that the Father has not been born, or the Holy Spirit has not been born, at least as far as we know. And so we have to be a little careful when we do say that God is born. We mean Jesus. That's who we're talking about.
How's that for you, Doyle?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, good. And you can ask your mom or dad if it's okay for us to send you a book. and just wait on the line, and Marie will talk to you and get your address to send you that book if it's okay. Thanks very much, Doyle. We're happy to have a chance to talk with you. Now we go to Jack in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Jack, are you there?
Yes.
And how old are you, Jack?
I'm 7.
Oh, boy.
Well, we're very happy to have you with us here, Jack. What is your question?
As attending of the stake is one of the 7 sacraments, what happens if a priest is doing that, but then they catch that same disease that the person they're attending the sick of had?
Well, then, so if a priest is anointing someone who's sick, and the person who's sick gives the disease to the priest, then the priest is going to have the disease too. But the priest could also, so the priest would get sick as well, but God would be with the priest while he's being sick, just like God is with everybody when they're sick, and the priest would be able to have another different priest come and give him the anointing of the sick too. So he would have that option just like the rest of us do when we're sick. We could have a priest come anoint us. He could have a priest come anoint him.
So it might be then that the priest has to have courage when he goes to give this sacrament, right,
yeah.
Jack?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, some priests have even gotten sick when they were spiritually ministering to people, like St. Damien de Wooster of Molokai, where yeah. There was a leper colony in Hawaii, and he went and ministered to the lepers, and then he became a leper himself.
Jack, is that answer helpful to you?
Yes.
All right. If you would like a book, hang on the line, Jack, and Marie will get your information and send you a book. Just check with your mom or dad before you give anybody your address. Our number is 888-318-7884. Our guest today is Jimmy Akin, the senior apologist here at Catholic Answers, and it is an open forum for kids today. If you're a kid or you got a kid, dial that number, 888-318-7884, and we'll be happy to take your calls. Let's go to Kevin in Missouri. Kevin, are you there with us?
Hi.
Hi, Kevin. How old are you?
8.
8? Oh, all right. Thank you for calling. What is your question?
Are there 3 archangels or 7?
Well, this is a very good question. It's something that is unclear from Scripture. We don't really know. Scripture refers to 3 angels by name. It refers to Michael, and it refers to Gabriel, and it refers to Raphael. And those are the only 3 angels who are named. We know also that Michael is an archangel because he's called one. But we're not sure how many archangels there are. The word archangel just means a high-ranking angel. The angels are like the servants in God's heavenly kingdom, in his court in heaven. And just like some servants have higher ranks than others, like a butler in a fancy house is higher than a footman.
Yeah.
So some angels have higher ranks than other angels. An archangel just means high-ranking angel. So the Bible doesn't make it clear to us exactly how many archangels there are or which ones there are. We know that Michael is an archangel, though, because we're told he is. There may be many other archangels or only a few. So we don't know that. It's common, though, to speak of there being 7 archangels. And one of the reasons for that is because there are passages that seem to speak of 7 angels or spirits in particular that always stand in God's presence and that are special in some way. And so that idea of there are 7 special angels is something that has led people to think about there being 7 archangels, even though that's not something we know for sure.
Kevin, so we don't actually know the answer to your question. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
All right. Would you like a book, Kevin?
Yes, please.
Oh, what good manners you have too, Kevin. Hang on the line then, and Marie will talk to you. And if it's all right with your mom and dad, we'll send you that book. It's open forum for kids today on Catholic Answers Live. And we've got a free book available. If you're a church history buff, you are going to love it. You just go to the Catholic Answers Facebook page, to download your free copy of The Apostasy That Wasn't, The Extraordinary Story of the Unbreakable Early Church. That's the Catholic Answers Facebook page. And then there'll be a banner there. You just click on it and you get your free ebook. We'll be right back with more right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
Fallen away Catholic years and years ago, doing my own thing, and my mom and dad never gave up on me, and I know it was the Holy Rosary. And they kept after me, Philip, pray your rosary. Then eventually I did. I'm a member of the Knights of the Immaculata, Maximilian Kolbe's group. I'm with the Legion of Mary, and I haven't stopped leading the rosary in nursing homes, thanks be to God.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
It's an all-kids open forum this hour on Catholic Answers Live. Next hour, Carlo Broussard will be here. We're going to talk about Catholic answers to Protestant questions. And if you have those Protestant questions or you have someone that you'd like to be able to provide answers to, perfect hour to call and talk with Carlo. All-kids open forum means any kid can call with any question they've got about the Catholic faith, whether you are Catholic or not. So long as mom and dad say it's okay, you're welcome to call here. Let's go to Joan in Texas. Joan, are you there? Or is it Joanne?
Yeah.
Is it Joanne?
Yeah.
I apologize. I read it wrong, Joanne. You're in Texas?
Yes.
And how old are you, Joanne?
9.
My mom's going to be mad about this because that's her name, Joanne. And so, and she listens every day. So,
is she 9 and in Texas?
She's not 9 and in Texas, though. I think it might be a different Joanne.
Okay,
Joanne, what is your question, please?
Can God take a person out of hell and put him in heaven if he wants to?
Yes, God can do that because God can do anything. But God won't do that because the person in hell doesn't want him to. The people who go to hell are people who have said, God, I do not want you. I do not want to be with you. I care about other things more than I care about you. And so I don't want to be with you. And they've said that in one way or another. But that's where their heart is. Their heart is they have chosen not to be with God. And at the end of our lives, whatever choices we've made like that are fixed. We don't change our minds after that. So if it's like if you have chosen to be with God, you want to be with God, you want to be with him forever, you are willing to do what he wants and so forth, then that choice becomes fixed. So you'll stay in heaven forever. You're never going to turn back to sin. But if you say, nope, I want these other things, I don't want God, then that's what becomes fixed. And you don't change your mind about it. Just like the saints in heaven don't change their mind about being in heaven, the people in hell don't change their mind about being in hell. That's where they wanted to be. That's where they chose to go. And so God, whatever your choice is, respects it. If you wanted to be with him, he respects that choice and lets you come to be with him in heaven forever. If you want to be separated from him, you don't want to be with him, he will not push himself on you. He will also respect that choice, and so you will not be in his presence forever, and that's what hell is. So even though he could take someone out of hell if they did change their mind, in fact, they won't change their mind because our choices become fixed at the end. That's the same reason that those of us who get to heaven will always stay in heaven because our choice will have become fixed. We want to be in heaven. That's where we want to be. We never want to go back to sin.
Joanne, does that make sense to you?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. We'd like to send you a book, Joanne, if you hang on. And if it's okay with your mom and dad, we will get your address and send it to you. Hang on for Marie. She'll do that. Talen is up next. Am I pronouncing that correctly, Talen?
Talen.
I'm sorry. I'm terrible with pronunciation today. Not my best pronunciation day. Do you have a question for us, Talen?
Yes.
Go ahead.
How does the Holy Spirit come down on the Eucharist and body of Christ? I don't really understand that because I can't see any change. I can't taste any change.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, in terms of how does I'll answer this in kind of two-part questions. The first part, how does the Holy Spirit come down? Well, since the Holy Spirit is a spirit, he's invisible. And so that means we can't see him. But there are other things that we can't see, but we still know they're real and they have an effect, like radio waves. If you're listening to me through the radio right now, it's because there are these invisible waves that you can't see that are coming into your house or your car and that are being turned into sound in your radio. And so even though you can't see them, they're still real and they still have an effect where you are right now because you can hear my voice. So that's like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, being a spirit, is invisible. We can't see him, but he does come down and have real effects. In terms of why we can't see a difference between the consecrated elements in the Eucharist and the unconsecrated ones, it's because God chose to do a miracle where he changed what's real but left the appearances alone. And it's kind of like, I'm trying to think of an easy to understand example, but suppose that I have the ability to make holograms, okay? Really good ones. So you can't tell the difference between the image of the hologram object I'm making and the real thing.
Yeah.
So let's say I make a hologram of a book. And so I hold up my hand. I appear to have a book in it. And at first, I do have a book in it. But what I then do is I take away every page out of the book. And instead, I put a piece of clay there. And so eventually, what is actually in my hand is a big piece of clay that's shaped like a book. But because I make this image on top of it, a hologram on top of it, it still looks like I've got the original book in my hand. So it looks like one thing, but really it's something else. It looks like a book, but really now it's a piece of clay because I replaced the book with the clay. In the same way, in the Eucharist, let's take the bread as an example. Originally, what you have is a piece of bread, mm-hmm. but God then takes away the actual bread and replaces it with Jesus, but he keeps the appearance there of the original bread. And he does the same thing with the wine. He takes the actual wine away, replaces it with Jesus, but keeps the appearance of actual wine. And this is similar to a kind of miracle we actually see in the Bible, where we see angels who look like men. And they show up, and sometimes they go to dinner with people,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so it's possible for someone to look like a human being, and really they're not a human being at all. They may be an angel. That the appearance of being a human being is just an appearance. And so we see God doing a miracle that's kind of like this in the Bible, and that's what's happening with the Eucharist too. It's a way that Jesus comes down to be with us, but he chose to continue to have these appearances of bread and wine stay the same. So that's why it looks the same, even though what it really is has changed and become Jesus.
What do you think, Talen?
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, Talen. We'd like to send you a book, too. So if you hang on the line, Marie will get your address, if that's okay with your mom and dad, and then we will send you a book. We've got to go a little bit quickly now. Naomi, you are up next. Your question, please, Naomi.
Hello. So I had a question. So you know when Lucifer was an angel,
mm-hmm.
and there wasn't really any sin, but then Lucifer had pride,
how did Lucifer had pride if he was an angel already?
Okay, so the what Lucifer and the other fallen angels really had was free will. It's just it's like Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had free will. They could choose good or they could choose evil, and they chose evil. Well, the angels had the same thing. The angels also had free will. They could either choose good or they could choose evil, and some of them chose good, some of them chose evil, and that's where we got the devil and his demons. The idea of it being pride that led the devil to choose evil, that's not something that the Bible actually says or something that the church actually teaches. That's an idea that theologians have had to explain maybe why the devil chose evil. But we're not really entirely sure why the devil chose evil. We know that he did. The Bible tells us that. But it doesn't tell us exactly why he chose evil. And so different people have proposed different ideas about why that might be the case, but we shouldn't assume that any one of those ideas is necessarily what really happened.
Naomi, we'd like to send you a book as well, and I'm going to say thank you for the call because we want to try to get everybody in here before we have to go. So let's go to Stephen in Illinois. Stephen, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Stephen, your question, please.
If people have free will, how did Jesus get Aeneas convinced to cure Saul?
Okay.
Who became Paul?
Okay. So there's two interesting things here. The first one is, so when Paul had been blinded in his encounter with Jesus, God then gave a revelation to a man named Ananias in yep. Damascus and said, go heal Paul. And it's true, Ananias had free will, but he was a Christian who wanted to do what God wanted. And once it was clear to him that God wanted this, he agreed freely and said, okay. Just like if God asks you to do something and you have free will, you might say yes, you might say no. But if you want to do the good thing, then you'll say yes. And Ananias wanted to do the good thing. And so he said yes and went and healed Paul. The other thing is Saul didn't actually become Paul. He already was Paul. In Hebrew-speaking circles and Aramaic-speaking circles, in other words, in Jewish circles, Paul's name was Shaul or Saul, mm-hmm. but that name meant something different in Greek. Uh-huh. And so it kind of meant like weakling or something
oh, really?
Like that. Yeah. And so Paul also, though, was a Roman citizen. And so he had a Roman name in addition to a Jewish name. And his Roman name was Paulus. And which is or Paul. And so when he was in Jewish circles, he often went by the name Shaul or Saul. But when he was in non-Jewish circles, he would go by the name Paulos or Paul.
How's that for you, Stephen?
Thank you.
So I guess the way to say it, Stephen, is Jesus got Ananias to cure him because he asked him to, and Ananias agreed to do it.
Because he was a good guy.
Okay.
Okay, Stephen. How old are you, Stephen? I don't think I asked you.
8 years old.
All
oh,
right.
Oh, boy.
8-year-old Stephen
oh,
is...
Oh, wait.
Yep.
Wait. I just turned 9.
Nice.
Oh,
congratulations. Well, we'd like to send you a present.
Already contemplating the problem of free will.
Yeah, already.
Yeah.
congratulations on your birthday. Thanks for the call. If you stay on the line and if it's okay with your mom and dad... We will have Marie send you a book. Marie will get your address and send you a book. Thank you very much, Stephen, for that call. I was going to say Stephen knew Paul, but is that correct? It's confusing.
Paul was present at the martyrdom of St. Stephen, the proto-martyr. Yes.
Yeah, right. Stephen, again, thank you for that call. Next hour, Carlo Broussard will be here. We're going to talk about Catholic answers to Protestant questions. Jimmy Akin, thanks for a very fine hour.
My pleasure. Thank you, Cy.
It took a minute to get kids to call today.
Took more than
a
minute.
Once they call, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoy talking with kids. And thank you to all the moms and dads who probably did the hard work of dialing the phone. Don't forget that 10 of the top titles, the 10 top titles at Catholic Answers are on sale for $10 each right now at shop.catholic.com. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Carlo right after this on Catholic Answers Live.